Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts
So, Catherine Rochelot, okay, I would like to get your authorization and consent to edit, record, produce, and distribute this podcast on behalf of A Good Person Production, my podcast On the Edge with April Mahoney. Is that all good with you?
That's all good with me.
Good, good, good. Before we get started, I also like to gather a little space and a little energy with my guests. I want to make sure that we have a strong, positive delivery, that we feel one another, that we laugh, we have a good time, and that this is beneficial for the both of us. Is that okay?
That's perfect.
All right, we'll take a few deep breaths on that. I feel like we're in the same room.
Good. Catherine. We are.
This is going to be good. This is going
to
be.
It happens to be a Zoom room.
Absolutely. I'll take what I can get. So welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, the responses are never dull, and we are with Catherine Rochelot.
That's correct.
From British Columbia, Canada. Brains, it's a beautiful place too.
It is. And especially today, we've got a beautiful sunny day, no clouds, and there's fresh snow on the mountains. So it looks glorious.
I bet. I bet. So, Brains, we're going to talk a little bit about social impact. What does that look like? What is a socially impactful company, insightful company? They have to be on the cutting edge. They have to be trailblazers. They have to be innovators because people are looking to them to set the trend. What is going to be the next big thing? And so Catherine is on the cutting edge with that. She's been in three, not one, not two, but three anthologies. We're going to talk about that. And she does work in the nonprofit sector there in Canada as well as the United States. What does nonprofits look like now? Because the struggle is real. You know, those funds have been allocated. They are not really having the manpower and the influx of people to volunteer these organizations because of COVID or what have you. What does fundraising and development look like to keep those doors open? But also, I have a very, you know, unique approach as far as making nonprofits self-sustainable. Mm-hmm. How do they have a product or a service that keeps that machine running rather they get donors or not? So let's welcome her to the edge this afternoon. How are you, Catherine?
I'm doing really well, April, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, I'm excited to have you, girl. We're going to talk about things because I was in nonprofit. Honey, I worked for some of the best. Susan B. Komen, American Red Cross, and Make-A-Wish. So I know what it is to have donors. I know what it is to have a board. I know what it is to be responsible. And I know what it is when you got a nonprofit and things aren't going the way that you want them to. It can be a nightmare. Let's start there and your work with nonprofits. How did that begin?
Well, I mean, I started my career actually in nutrition and food service management. And so I worked with governments and then I moved from governments into the nonprofit world. And I worked with a lot of nonprofits as an employee. I was the director of food services. And so I got to see the operations from that senior, you know, position, but I also have always volunteered. So as a volunteer, you're also integrating yourself with nonprofits because I always believe that we have the ability as volunteers to make a difference in the world just by donating our time and or our expertise. And so I've had the pleasure and the honor of being in some amazing nonprofit driven community events that, you know, not only did I learn, but I was able to share. So we created what I call a triple win. But then I, as I started my business after our, you know, I sort of went through that route. I started my business. My focus was always, has always been on leadership development, growing great, strong organizations, whether that was in the for-profit or the not-for-profit world. And one of my key roles was to run a nonprofit as the executive director. So I used my business sense in that nonprofit, but I also drew on my strong purpose and my strong will for nonprofits to deliver on their mission. And so when I brought the two together, I created an organization. Not only did I take it virtual, and this was way back in the early 2000s. So I took that organization virtual so that we could better utilize the resources and better serve British Columbians, because that was the target market. But also I was able to use my business sense to help it grow and to diversify so that it would thrive for the long term. And
right.
So what happened?
Do you have a particular service calling or area of service that you like to work with? Is it women, children, disabled, animals?
I sort of have things that are really impactful with me. So it's all people related. So I tend to be a people person. That's kind of the foundation for me. So health obviously is one. So there are some health organizations that I love to connect with and support. But also I have worked a lot of my career with people with disabilities, whether that's physical or intellectual. It might be mental health issues. So I love supporting those areas because I think they're under-recognized and underfunded. And so for me, as a leader, as somebody who wants to see change and wants to see more inclusiveness and whatever, I believe that when we can get that group pulled into what, you know, other people call the norm, then we're going to have a much stronger community. We're going to have a much stronger.
But you know, life. It starts at the board level.
It does.
I'm going to be real with you, Brains 100. People get on these boards and they think that it's, you know, for shit and giggles. My name is on this, or, you know, I can put this on my resume. You need to work and you need to write a check. Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
Yep.
You need to pull in. That's why they create a board, not for you just to write rules and regulations, but for you to keep that machine running.
I love it.
Come up with creative ideas, mm-hmm. Build teams, share mm-hmm. the information. Everywhere you go, your organization should be laying on your tongue. Mm-hmm. That is what a board member's actual job is. It's not just to sit there and look cute and to also contribute. Mm-hmm. You know, they pick big money donors and you're on that board list for a reason. Know that. Okay, a little $1,000 here, a little $1,500, $2,000, you know, once every couple months, you can write it off. Mm-hmm. If you believe in the organization that you work for, then put your money where your mouth is. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm just telling you.
I totally agree.
You know, and these fundraising and development, it's a lot different now. People are not leaving legacy gifts the way that they used to. The young generation don't even know what that is. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of these old time. Example, American Red Cross. They would get it because their grandfather served in World War II, or, you know, their mother was a nurse, all of these things, but they don't have that camaraderie. So I work with a nonprofit here in Los Angeles. It's called the Homeboys and Homegirls, which is really phenomenal. They have created their own line of condiments. These condiments are now in high-end grocery stores. And what they do with the money is they teach the kids how to work in a commercial kitchen. They get their tattoos removed. They teach them parenting skills, how to run a business. This is what I'm saying. This is putting your money where your mouth is. Cancer research, work with people, you know, stem cell research. You can partner with a lot of these organizations. Am I giving it to them straight, Catherine?
Absolutely. And you know what? The future of social impact, where we can solve the world's, you know, pressing problems, is going to come from business to nonprofit partnerships, where we can create a mutually beneficial relationship that not only has a business, for-profit business that thrives, but also a not-for-profit business that thrives. And that comes with sharing resources. It comes with sharing time, energy, you know, skills, but also our money, because you know what, money does, as much as we don't like to think about it, but money does make the world move forward.
Money is nothing but energy, brains.
Well,
it that has to be circulated. That's just the way that it goes. Like your blood circulates through your body, like water circulates through a faucet. Money needs to circulate through the economy and not be afraid of it. When you're afraid of it, then you're hindered.
Yes.
And you will never grow. You will never evolve. What are some of the fun activities that, you know, these nonprofits are doing now to raise funds? I mean, it used to be the 1-800 ballroom and everybody get all gussied up and you'd listen to some good music and have a silent auction and raise, you know, $10,000, $20,000. What are they doing now in that space?
Well, you know, the pandemic put people in a position to look at virtual fundraising opportunities. And you know, those fundraising opportunities, one of the nonprofits that I was speaking with, they did theirs. They thought that this was going to cost them a fortune. They weren't going to get the money in and they weren't going to get the donation, you know, the donations. They weren't going to have the experience. What they found was that not only did they save the $40,000 it would have cost them to have that live event, but they raised more money. Because people didn't have to dress up. They didn't have to buy those outfits. They didn't have to pay for parking. They didn't have to pay to attend the event. So they took all that money and put it as part of their donation. So they actually did better and raised 40% more money.
Wow.
Some of the other nonprofits, like one nonprofit, it's one of the gals, it was her son really liked to make homemade ice cream. She partnered with an ice cream company and they were able to have on International Ice Cream Day, which happens, I believe it's in July, they were able to sell ice cream through that shop. And all of the money raised went to the nonprofit. What a great opportunity of now featuring that local company with that local nonprofit.
Absolutely.
And they were able to raise a lot of money. So there are fun things to do. And
so
it
let
just
me ask
takes a bit of thinking.
Yeah, well, this I had another guy that was talking about the days of Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis was amazing when he did the muscular dystrophy telethon. Entertain a little bit, and he did it via the television.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was people in the audience, but it wasn't to the magnitude of the people that he reached. Entertain a little bit, get a little bit of money. Entertain a little bit, get a little bit of money. It all works together. So now the term nonprofit organization, is that running synonymous and parallel with social impact companies?
Well, there is a commonality to them. They both want to make a social impact in the world. When you think about a nonprofit, the only difference in my mind between the two is one under the legislation in, you know, in Canada, the US or other places in the world, is we have legislation for what is a nonprofit. They cannot distribute the profits of their organization outside of the organization. It has to be recycled back in. And we often call that capacity building within the nonprofit world.
Right.
For a social impact company, they are shifting not for the creation of profit to line the pockets of their shareholders. They are looking at being thriving and profitable so that they benefit all stakeholders. So that is your, it might be your board of directors, it might be your shareholders, it might be your employees, it might be your customers, your suppliers, the environment. Any of those facets are part of the stakeholders that you need as a business to be helping. So really, we want that for nonprofits, we want that for businesses. So they really do have a commonality with a slightly different focus. And I get told a lot that they're not the same. I said, no, they're not the same, but there's similarities.
Catherine, what do you want your legacy to be in this environment? What do you want people to think back and say, you know, wow, she was one heck of a recruiter. She was a one heck of a teacher or inspiration or fundraiser. What do you want that to look like?
I mean, for me, I think it's, I would like to be the inspiration that helped change how business is done and then changes the world. So really changing the world through business by changing how business is done is what drives me. And I want to see more businesses be better, you know, community partners. I want them to be better, you know, allies. And I want them to stop and think about what they're doing in their business, how they do their business, and how they treat people.
Absolutely.
So that they can look back and be really proud of themselves instead of just saying, we made $1 billion in profit. And you're going, yeah, but look at all of the negative.
Look at all the attrition that you have. Let's talk a little bit about the DEI space, diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's on everybody's tongue.
It is.
And you just spoke to that as far as how you treat people. We're talking about all people with abilities, disabilities. I had one woman that was on my show, beautiful, beautiful sister, realized at a more mature age that she was ADHD. They let her go. That's a medical condition.
Yeah.
You know, she just learns a little bit differently, and they let her go because of that. You lost a valuable employee because she's sharp as a whip. I told her, just pop two pills. They got pills for everything. Just pop two pills, get it together, take a break, you know, go smoke a cigarette, drink a beer, whatever you got to do, you know, get yourself together. And then come back to work. But building this, appreciating everyone that comes to the table, especially your volunteers.
Yes.
You can get more money, but you cannot get more time. The American Red Cross, these people would go in harm's way into the most adverse situations, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, and make a place for others to come. The disabled community, they want to work. They don't want to just lay around. They don't want to get a government subsidy. They want skills and they want their abilities to be enhanced. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? A lot of times, all it takes is for us to stop, hear what they want, hear what they need, so that they can be a contributor in our organizations, in our communities. I love watching people thrive. I mean, the Paralympics are coming up. I had the honor of watching some of those Paralympians live when the Olympics were here in Canada, or the Paralympics were here in Vancouver. You know what? Watching that and their goal to have a more inclusive world, it inspired me beyond belief that this is something that we can do with the person with something like ADHD or the person with autism. They are not stupid people. They just have a different way of learning and a different way of operating. The person who has no vision can still be accommodated. That, you know, it just sometimes takes a little bit of effort on our part up front, but you know what? They have a lot to offer. So it's interesting how we can make that inclusion so much easier if we stop, we hear each other, we recognize, but we also want to understand each other. And I think the biggest challenge is people go, I see nothing, I hear nothing, I don't want to, you know, talk about it. And that to me is the biggest mistake each of us can make. I can't say I'm perfect. I mean, obviously I have white skin.
Oh, yes, you are. I got the email.
I have white skin.
I got the email that you are perfect.
But you know what? I mean, I look at things like, you know, people will look at me, well, you're part of the privileged group. Yes, I know that that's what people believe. But you know what? I don't want to be part of the privileged group. I want all of us to be privileged.
And what people have to do though, is I don't want you just to talk about it. Ooh. No, not you. I need people to be about it. I need you to have these individuals in positions of authority to make decisions.
Yes.
If there is, you're representing a certain group, paraplegics, quadriplegics, and you don't have one person in that board that's in a chair or has, you know, artificial limbs, you are being disingenuous.
Yes, of course you are.
You know, we're not just talking about color.
No.
That's something that, you know, and it's so old fashioned. It is so old fashioned. Women.
Yeah.
What about the millennials? Mm-hmm. Bring some young blood in.
Absolutely.
Have the conversation about what are the needs of the people today, not the needs of yesterday. No. That's long gone.
No. And it's interesting, there's one nonprofit and I was working with them as a consultant and their board were all old white men. And I said, this was a progressive organization except for their board. and I said, you know, I really think you need to look at your board makeup and introduce some other people, because the people that this organization served, most of them were immigrants, people of color, mm-hmm. people with disabilities, and 95% of them were women. They didn't have any of that represented on their board. Zero. And I brought it to their attention. They told me, they gave me their line, which is, well, this is who our organization is made up of, and our board has to be from that organization.
Right.
And I said, I understand that. However, that can be changed.
Well, if they're progressive.
I was quiet because, you know what? They weren't going to. They didn't want to hear it.
If they are progressive and you want to sustain what's going on and maintain, you're going to bring in some fresh blood. You need a blood transfusion in your organization. Another thing I want to touch on a little bit with nonprofits. It used to be the day here, a lot of people would run to Nevada and they would get a nonprofit status. What you have to understand, Brains, is the IRS here in the United States is going to go up your behind like a colonic. They want to know who your donors are. They want to know what is your responsibility. They want to know your credibility. Mm-hmm. You have to be responsible to divvying that money out. And there is taxes that you have to fill out. Mm-hmm. You have to have your boards. A lot of times people, I'll just get a nonprofit organization. You don't necessarily need that. That's like me. I do a lot of philanthropic things in the community, but I do it under a minority woman's business status. Mm-hmm. I get the same benefits. I get the same breaks. But I don't have the headaches. Pay your taxes and be done with it. No one can question you when you get that brand new Mercedes Benz, when you go on vacation, auditing everything that you do. You have to understand the nonprofit is not your personal slush fund. Am I right, Catherine?
Absolutely. And in today's world, I believe every entrepreneur can be a social impact business. We, just like you, we can connect our businesses to our, you know, our ability to change the world by doing donations through our companies. We can be donating time, donating resources, giving paid time off to employees to volunteer. Those are small things that we can do that actually benefit, and we can track that and we can report on it, which shows that we're walking our talk. In my company, we donate minimum 2% of top line revenue to charity for every single sale, every single source of revenue that we get, whether that's an honorarium, whether it's, you know, something that somebody gave us a refund, we count it, we pay out, and we also do monthly contributions just to make sure we're always contributing no matter what our revenues are. But that 2% is off top line. I can't fudge that. If you give me $1,000, I pay 20 to charity. Boom. It's automatic. You know it. I know it. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. And the nice thing about that is my charities love it because they know that that money's coming consistently.
Right, right. And Brains, also, the churches here in the United States are considered a nonprofit status, but they're looking at that. Because these churches, you know, we got some mega churches that are pulling in big bucks. They say saving souls is big business. So they're looking at that. They're also looking at what you are able to deduct. Because some nonprofits and some donations are not tax deductible. But you know what? You can't put a tax deduction on your heart. And if it is the right thing to do, exactly. If it's the right thing to do, animal rights, giving, you know, food to the food bank, close to the homeless shelter, you do what your heart tells you to do. Not-for-profit doesn't mean broke.
No.
You need to support and encourage people. Don't get me to talking because I love a good nonprofit. You know, the American Red Cross used to get a bad rap, but they were the only organization that was on Ready for You. Mm-hmm. And they're not there to rebuild your life. They're there to assist you and give you resources and give you education and partner and maybe get medical treatment. That's what these nonprofits are for. They are mission-driven organizations. Catherine, thank you so much. Oh, before we conclude, I want to talk to you a little bit about the books. I don't want to forget that. Tell me a little bit about the anthologies that you were in and the value that you've written down.
Okay. Well, the very first one, I got to get this into perspective
right
there.
You got to move your fingers, Mama, and pull it up so they can see your name, right?
So there you go. My picture actually way back when was here. It was a long time ago. This was the very first one. It's called Smart Women Live Their Why. And it really was a bunch of stories of business women who really were purpose-driven and why they are doing what they do. And that was the one that started me off. And I just looked at igniting leadership, why I believe women and people need to be leaders in their organization. And that, to me, really is the epitome of what we do. The second one, The Winning Way, I wrote this, obviously we had Brian Tracy, he's on the cover here. Again, it's an anthology with some amazing business leaders, people that are very, very successful. And the neat thing about this is I actually took leadership and dissected it into three specific categories. Leaders need to calculate, so they need to know their numbers. They need to communicate because they need to get people to follow along and to be in partnership with them. And they need to evaluate, which means they need to look at what impact are they making? Are the results that they're creating? And then the very last one, The Game Changer, I did this one just a couple of years ago. And again, my picture is on the front cover here somewhere, but I can't see it at the moment. Anyway, so what? Oh, there I am. I'm up right there.
There you are.
So this one, I actually told my story where I actually was attacked in my home by somebody I knew. It forced me to walk away from my business. I kind of walked away from my life for a while, and how I came back. And this is where my passion, my purpose was really created, was after that event. I had always been a social impact business since the early 2000s, but it really became the focus of my purpose after this attack. And so this is me sharing my story for the first time in writing. It was very hard to write, but it was worth writing it because now it no longer holds me hostage.
That's right. And it's very cathartic. And I hope you learned a little 1-2 since then.
I did. And of course, I've created the Impact Business Blueprint online course, which will be starting in March. I've updated it. It's now open for nonprofit leaders as well as for-profit leaders, so social impact businesses. I also have an Ignite Impact Collective, which again is a membership program for nonprofit and social impact leaders. So it has spurred me on. It has been the spark that I needed to really take what I believe and what people have told me for years was not required in business. And I said, no, but we need to be doing it for the world.
Absolutely. Because you know, you have to incorporate kindness. Before COVID, that was a big push to incorporate kindness in the workplace.
Yes.
Teach your children to be philanthropic. Teach them to have manners, you know, to give to the people that are less fortunate or different than them. Expose them to different cultural opportunities. A nonprofit is the perfect way. If you're doing a Habitat for Humanity, you're building a home. If you're doing clean water, if you're doing a beach cleanup, mm-hmm. if you're doing an animal rescue, there are so many things that you can enhance the quality of life, have a bonding opportunity, as well as giving back. Catherine, you are absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you so much for being here on The Edge. Be sure to tell my brains how to get in contact with you and how to purchase a copy of one of those amazing books.
Okay. Well, my name is Catherine Rochelow. My company is Ignite Leadership International. My website is https igniteleaders.com. And if you want to thinking of you're looking at the course, feel free to go to, I have a bit.ly link, which is bit.ly and then // IBB course. And then the number one. So IBB for Impact Business Blueprint, and then course, all small letters, and then the number one. I thought that would be the easiest for sharing.
Yeah, and what I'll do is I'm going to put it at the share at the show link, and as we go, because I want you to go in and at least have a consultation. I tell you that all the time. I go all around the world to find these super heady people, and you guys don't even give them a call. I've done the homework for you. I've vetted them. I've interviewed them. I've introduced you to them. We've networked, and you won't follow up. And then you wonder why your business or your nonprofit or your social impact company is not thriving. It's because you don't follow up. Right?
And I would love to have conversations. I'd love to have your viewers join me. And, you know, if we each take one step, we will change the world through business by changing the rules of business. And you know what? That's how business is done. And whether you're a nonprofit, you can create ways of making money yourself. And you mentioned this earlier, that nonprofits can be self-sustaining, and they can look at what products and services do they have that they could be selling maybe for a profit, and reinvesting that profit into delivering to those who can't afford it. And you know what? That's an ideal way of doing it. And I'd love to share those ideas with people.
Well, Brains, I want you to share them because I'm giving them to you right here on the edge. Okay, go in. I need you to like, love, share all of this wonderful, great information. Recycle it. This is how things go viral. You know, I'm good, but I'm not perfect like my guest here.
Oh, you are perfect.
that's what he thinks anyway. So Brains, again, go in and check it out. Look at it for her upcoming and ongoing offerings that she has. Mm-hmm. 15, 20 minutes, it could change the trajectory and the impact of your business and your life. Thank you so much, Catherine.
You're welcome. And thanks so much for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
I know. I love you, Brains. I'm trying to keep you smart. Bye, guys.
Bye.